We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what they call the third chapter, the 13th Pasuk. Ashrei Adam Matza Chochmah Ve'Adam Yafik Tivunah. Praise is the person. How good is it for a person when he has found wisdom? And even more so, Ve'Adam is a person, Yafik Tivunah, that can extrapolate from his wisdom the understanding. What we call Tivunah is the capacity to extrapolate, to be able to be Motzi Davar Mitoch Davar, to be able to learn one thing out from another. If you have it down pat, you could. Now, that's going with the understanding that we discern between Chochmah and Tivunah. On one level, we could understand it here that Shlomo HaMelech is saying how praised is a person that he's learned his wisdom so well that he could even give it onwards. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi, for some reason here, doesn't seem to discern between the Chochmah and the Tivunah. He seems to learn that they're, in Pshat, they're like synonymous. To an extent, one of the ways you could gauge how well you understand what you've learned is how well you could explain it to your Chavrusa. So praised is one who's learned so well that he understands it, that he could even pass it on to others. The wisdom is so worthwhile, ki tov sachra, misecha kahasef, umei charutz, tevuata, because the business of Torah, the business of wisdom, is better than business that's with silver, and it's even better than charutz, and charutz is fine silver, fine gold. It's even better than fine gold, the crops of the wisdom. Business and wisdom is better, because whenever you have a business transaction, you buy something, you spent money, you lost the money, he lost the object. Everyone's a winner, everyone's a loser. When it comes to wisdom, you tell someone what you learned today, you still have what you had, and he's that much smarter. He gained, you didn't lose. Like Chazal say, it's like one candle lighting another candle. So it's better business than doing business with silver. It's better than the best gold, the crops of wisdom. And we have to know that all knowledge, he's not only talking about knowledge of Torah. All knowledge is an asset. I told you guys the story. I was once meeting with a rabbi, and I come to the meeting, and I see him standing outside next to his car with a hanger. So he got locked out of his car, and he was picking the lock with a hanger. So I was young then, I was still a teenager, and I said, Rabbi, how do you know how to do that? So he said to me, Netanel, all wisdom is good. It's only a question what you do with it. You got to know whatever you can in life. All knowledge is an asset. You just have to know what to do with it. And he was quoting Rabbi Schwab, who was the rabbi in Muncie. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, you have to know that wisdom is better than silver. Wisdom is something you can use. You have to appreciate wisdom. Yekarahi mipininim. Wisdom is more precious than gems, than jewels. V'chol chafatzecha lo yishvuva. And you should know that nothing you desire equals wisdom. There's nothing like knowledge. And we should have that appreciation for it. Now, on a deeper level, he's talking about Torah, but on a simple level, he's not only talking about Torah. All knowledge should be valued. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said he doesn't understand people who aren't interested in science. He said when he'd sit on the bus and he'd be on his way to Beis Medrash, and next to them were all the university students, and they'd be reviewing and talking about their medical studies. He couldn't help but listen. He was curious. He wanted to understand, why shouldn't I have more knowledge? Why can't I gain and know more? A person has to appreciate all knowledge. We don't always have the time to learn all forms of knowledge, but an appreciation we should have. Orech yamim bimina bismola osher v'chavod. One has to know that on the right side of wisdom is longevity, on the left side is wealth and honor. And Chazal said that this is a reference to Torah, but the simple reading is this is about all forms of wisdom. Wisdom can gain one longevity, and it could gain one wealth and honor. There are many psukim like this, and there are many midrashim in which Chazal shows illustrations of this point, that ha-chokhmat techayeb et pe'aleh, wisdom gives its owner life. If you have wisdom, you can gain life, you could make things work. The Medrash brings a simple story to illustrate this. The Medrash brings a story where there were a bunch of merchants on a ship together with the rabbi, and each merchant was showing off his wares, and the rabbi had no wares to show off. So they all mocked him. Oh, we were just at the fair. Look at how wealthy we are. And you, what do you have? The ship got taken by pirates. And all the merchants lost all their wealth. And they were brought to a neighboring town. And the pirates were contemplating to sell all these people as slaves or not. And the Jewish community came out. And when they interviewed the slaves, so they saw there were Jews and they should redeem them, but it's a lot of money, but it's a big mitzvah. And then they bump into this rabbi. So they said, oh, we need a rabbi here. At least he'll teach us some Torah. Right away they redeemed the rabbi. So the rabbi went into shul and gave a whole big speech about what a big mitzvah it is to redeem Jews who are in captivity and go redeem all the other people. So they redeemed all the other people. Now all the people come to shul. They don't even have their clothing on their back. And the rabbi is there, everyone honors him, and where are they and where is he? So now they looked at him and they said, wait a second, wait, how'd you get up here? What'd you pay to get up here? How'd you get away from the pirates with any money? How come you're heading the community and we're still like, we're appreciative to be free, but we lost everything? He said to them, what I have, no one could take from me. What you guys had, well, that's something that comes and goes. The pirates were able to take it from you. You couldn't take what I have. So, we said, knowledge, wisdom is more precious than anything else, and it is something which can grant one longevity and grant one wealth. Chazal said, those who work with Torah to the right, they will have longevity. What does it mean to work with Torah to the right? They're the ones that focus on Torah for the correct reasons. So they will be granted longevity, and certainly together with the Torah, they will get wealth and honor. But then you have the masmilimba. Small comes from the Arabic word of small. Small literally means weak. Those that go with the weak aspects of Torah, they're not doing it for the sake of Torah. They're doing it because they want people to honor them. They're doing it because they want to gain from it. So La masmilimba, those that are leftists, so to speak, in their Torah, so they will at least gain that wealth from the Torah. They will benefit from it, but they won't have all the benefits of longevity, etc. The ways of Torah are pleasant, and all the paths of Torah should lead to peace. And sometimes we feel that it's the other way around. You know, Torah gets me into all the conflicts in the world. Suddenly I can't eat with my parents freely. Suddenly there are machlokas. The first thing you learn when you start learning Torah is the concept of machlokas. We don't always agree. Right? So there are long speeches about this. What's the idea that Torah gives peace? Maybe we could take one idea from Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was chief rabbi of the Jews in the United States before Moshe Feinstein came to the scene. He was the Gadol Hador and Torah of Moshe Feinstein came. Rav Henkin, yeah. Rav Henkin, just so you know his history, when he was a youngster, he crossed Europe to learn in Mir. And when he reached Mir, so they interviewed him. It was the beginning of winter. And they said, young man, you're not up to par. We're sorry, you can't enter the yeshiva. So he can't cross Europe in the middle of winter. He can't go back home. So he sat down in a shul next to the yeshiva and learned the tractate Erevin 40 times. All winter long, he was learning it and reviewing it, learning it and reviewing it. Winter ends, he's got nothing to look for here. You know, they're not letting him into the yeshiva. So he heads back, and on his way back, he happens upon a shul where the two Gdolei Ador are sitting and talking about a sugya and Erevin. So this young man who's sitting in the back overhears their argument back and forth and back and forth. This one brings a proof this way, that one brings a proof that way. Says, could I say something? Sure, what do you have to say? He opens up Tosefta in the back of in the back of Erevin. He opens up Tosefta and shows them a proof. that neither one had thought of, and they both agreed he was right. And Rav Henkin led the Jewish people for a few years, and even after Moshe Feinstein came to the scene, he headed Ezra's Torah, which was a fund that helped the Jews after the Holocaust, that helped the Jews here in Israel, and also helped the Jews in the United States after the Holocaust. I merited to rent a room by a rabbi from Mir, Rav Orzechowitz. He told me that when he visited Rav Henkin after the Holocaust, he was so poor, he couldn't afford a single sefer. And he walked into Rav Henkin's house, and Rav Henkin had a library. And Rav Henkin was there to help the people after the Holocaust. So he said, as Rav Henkin was reading his papers, he turned to the library and took a volume off the shelf, and he held it in his hands like he was holding gold, and he started leaping through the pages. And Rav Henkin saw his excitement at holding a sefer in his hand. Rav Henkin said, "Keep it." So, what?
Lives in the neighborhood?
Rav Henkin's grandson. That's the Rav Henkin's grandson.
Sperling asked a question.
Yeah, he's Rav Sperling's rabbi, right. So, Rav Henkin, in his introduction to his work, he asked this question. He says, "Well, what are we always talking about? The rabbis and peace. Where do you find the rabbis bringing peace to the world?" So, Rav Henkin, he has a long piece on it. But in a nutshell, he discusses communism. And he discusses, this was when communism was in its heyday, right? It wasn't at a time where it was clear that communism would fail. There were heated arguments about what was right and what was wrong. So he says, he has a whole long explanation about why the Torah is not for communism. How the Torah wants there to be private ownership, and that's the only way society can succeed, and he explains why communism will fail, why ultimately people will not be encouraged to produce and not be productive, and it will fail. He says the Torah teaches us a way of life of peace. If we only understand the balance that the Torah gives us. So yes, when you learn Torah, do we understand it this way, or do we understand it that way? But at the end of the day, where's the Torah leading us? Right? And even in our arguments, the Gemara in Brachos calls the rabbis Baalei Trisim, masters of shields. Rav Kook says, why are the rabbis called masters of shields? If you want to describe a warrior, you describe as sword, you describe as bow and arrow, you don't describe as shield. Because you describe a sword when you're out to kill. You describe a shield when you're out to protect. When we learn Torah, we're first focused on protecting. Here's my tradition, here's the way I understand it. Now, I'm going to protect what I said. My goal isn't to demolish your understanding. My goal is to see if my understanding stands up to the protection. Is it right or is it wrong? It's a totally different war. Diracheah, the ways of the Torah, Darchei Noam, are ways of pleasantness. V'chol netivoteah. And all the different paths of Torah are shalom, lead to peace. We have to know that the Torah is not about one path. We will see it over and over again in Mishlei. There are multiple paths in the Torah. The Torah isn't about one size fits all. Every Jew has to be this type of Jew. No, there's room for everyone. Kol netivoteah. All the paths of the Torah are shalom. It's chayim hi lamachazikim baha. The Torah is a tree of life for those that hold on to it. V'tomecheha meushar. And those who support the Torah, they ne'ushar. One understanding is they will be very happy. What is tomecheya? So we like to say those who support Torah. Litmoch in Tanakh language doesn't always mean to support. Litmoch in Tanakh means to be close to. Litmoch doesn't always mean to support. Rashi says throughout the book of Mishlei, when you encounter the word tmicha, tmicha means to be close to, doesn't mean support. In all of Mishlei, now we have a word defined. For all of Mishlei, tmicha means those that come close to it.
Is that why we come to a specific word when we raise it? Are we learning this?
Maybe. I hear.
The general pshara and the pasuk they will tell me is the machzikim by is those that learn it, and tmicha is those that support it more into it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rashi is saying that
Not, that's not what Rashi says. Not what even the Targum doesn't translate that way.
What's the distinction?
I don't understand the word. It's
not
tumcheh litmoch.
And this is to come close.
Yeah, in Mishlei, Rashi says throughout Mishlei the word litmoch means to come close. Yeah.
And what's it in context? Come close to Hashem.
Come close to the Torah. Yeah. Okay, here also. So one understanding is that there's getting a hold on Torah, and then there's coming close. There are different people in different stages of life have different levels of familiarity with Torah. There are stages in life where a person is the tomech, he's close. He comes to shir, he sits in, he understands more, he understands less, but he's close. He's in the aura. Then you have a stage where a person says, no, I want to understand, I want to remember, I want to get a hold on this. That's obviously a much higher level. Then he gets a tree of life. Tomechea, if he's at a point where he's just close, mushal, that in and of itself will make him happy. A guy who attains a shir Torah, whether he understands more or less, at the end of the day, his life is different. If he gets a handle on it, then it's an Eitz Chaim, then it's a tree of life. It has more produce. It's like a tree. It flourishes. It affects his whole life. There's another understanding, and that is tomecheha, those who support. What does it mean to support the Torah? So it means, let's say you read in the Torah, it says you're not supposed to eat meat and milk. So you say, okay, I'm not going to eat meat and milk, but I could have, on one side of the table, I'll have my cheese sandwich. On the other hand, side of the table, I'll have my hot dog and a bun. And right now, I'm going to eat my hot dog and a bun. And maybe my wife will eat the cheese sandwich, but I have no problem leaving it on the table. Chazal say, no, don't leave them on the same table. You're going to end up taking a bite of this, and then talking to your wife, and taking a nibble out of her cheese sandwich. It's going to happen. Chazal said, no, you don't leave them both on the same table. You make some discernment. You shouldn't come to it. It's not biblical. You make things that keep you distant. Tomecheha, those who support the Torah, what does it mean to support the Torah? To find ways to ensure you will keep the Torah. If a guy tells me, I am so engrossed in my work, how many times I'm working Friday morning on a science project, I'm sitting in the lab, and before I know it, it's 11 o'clock at night, I've been working straight into Shabbos, forget Kabbalah, Shabbos, I've been working on Shabbos, turning on the burners, turning them off. I don't know what time it is when I'm engrossed in my work, I have no clue. So yeah, that's a shogeg, very good. But why did it happen a second time? I understand the first time, but if you know that could happen to you, set an alarm clock. Tomecheh, every person has to find his way of supporting his observance of Torah. Everyone has to see, where are my weak points and how do I overcome them? And no one's saying where you have to be perfect in a day, but you do have to be tomecheh, he who supports the keeping of Torah for himself.
Just a question here in the grammar. Tomecheh Moshe, what's the meaning of mechazikim by in plural? Tomecheh Moshe in singular?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
And tomecheh, is that singular really? Or
I don't know if it's singular. Tumchim ba. Tumcheh can't be tumchim ba.
But then it says mu'shar.
You're saying mu'shar is singular. That's tumcheh mu'shar. I don't know. No, it's a good question. I don't know. You could look at the Malbim, see if he addresses it. The truth is that this is a point that people sometimes live their whole life and they don't bother doing. How many people get up late every morning and never bother thinking, maybe I should go to sleep earlier? We always look at the outcome. And Chazal train us time and again, wait a second, look at how'd you get there? Don't just look at the outcome. Yeah, I know the outcome. Yeah, I don't like the outcome. I'm always late to work. Wait a second, why? Maybe it's because you're always trying to catch the last bus to work. Maybe you should be at the bus stop a half hour earlier. Look at the root of it, and we don't. We spend our life being frustrated with the product. And it's the same thing in our relationships. If you look at the root, then very often you could resolve the problem.
I think also it shows who wrote Mishnah?
Shlomo.
He was considered the smartest of the smart ever, right? So it shows a kind of humility that you need to have in order to be great. As he's saying, Hashem's wisdom is infinite. And the Torah presents Hashem's wisdom, then you can never grasp it. The best you could hope for is to continuously come close to it.
Okay.
Like that's a good mentality to have, to always be you know, like why would you not set an alarm clock if you went into Shabbos the first time? Because you think you grasped it, but you really didn't.
Yafeh. Pasuk Yutet. Adonai bechokhma yasad aretz konen shamayim bitvuna. Hashem, when He laid the foundations for earth, He did it based on the wisdom. And the wisdom throughout Mishlei is a reference to the Torah. Hashem looked at the Torah, and based on the Torah, He created the world. Konen shamayim, when He laid out the heavens, He did it in according to the map of the Torah. And this brings us to a whole new section, really, in Mishlei. If we were putting the chapters, we would maybe start a new chapter here, because really, from here until Pasuk Chavav is basically one long thought. I think we'll start again here in Pasuk Yutet, and we'll go from here. Bezat Shema. See you guys Thursday next semester. Yeah.
What's the distinction between?